It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday edition. Your old pal Ironhead in studio here, and Mr. Geezy on assignment, and with none other than the legendary Mike Poorman here this morning.
Legendary? Oh, okay. His head's going to expand now. Don't do that, all right? All right, we're over here at the Hub on the Penn State campus. I'm here today for a high school student journalism event, which they do here every year. And I was able to reach out to Mike, and Mike's like, yeah, okay, so here he is. Let's talk some sports this segment, all right? Now, you said you got a Kale Sanderson story, which I know will make the iron hit. He's smiling already. See it there? All right, what's your Kale story?
Seven summers ago, I did a series with Penn State head coaches, the best ones, one word. I said, give me one word and we'll do a whole interview about your one word philosophy of coaching and life. And it was really cool. And they all bid it on and liked it. And so it took me 6 weeks to get Kale to do it. I have never worked so hard for an interview. But he finally sits down and he talks. Kale's one word, Jeff, do you know what Kale's one word is?
I'm guessing gratitude.
Yes, it's gratitude.
Yeah.
And so it was great. So since then, every wrestler, Penn State wrestler I ever come across in class, on campus, anywhere, I tell them this story and they go, okay, what's Kale's one word? Every single one nails it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, for me, there's no better endorsement of Kale than every wrestler I ever talk to. And some of the broadcasters always know the word.
So that Darth Vader stuff is baloney, okay? That evil empire, throw that out, all right? That's garbage. Now, apparently, are you a regular over at Penn State football practice? Because I kind of follow you on social media, and I'm seeing video clips and pictures and stuff. Are you a regular going over there?
I am. I write off-season once or twice, probably twice a week. I did a thing on Fleming last night. It's online now at statecollege.com. I'll do a piece on Rucci tonight. I'm on the beat. I said this one time in class. I go, I don't care who the third string left tackle is. And by the way, I had the third string left tackle in class. And I go, I don't mean you, Bill. No offense. I don't cover the X and O's. I like to cover the people and the stories and the logistics and those types of things. But yeah, I'm on the beat. I'm elbow to elbow with the students and you know, the gold standards like the Mark Brennans of the world.
Well, Mike, but the stories really are what make I think sports compelling, and I do think you know, we had a chance. We did an event with the radio station here. They kind of let us crash the party on an NIL event they had for the incoming freshmen. Now, we weren't talking with the freshmen on air, but we had a chance to talk with Riley Thompson, and it is fascinating to me. And I think one of the really neat things about sports is that is an area where it truly doesn't matter your background. It is, and I see it obviously up close and personal with the wrestling team, but I observe it with football and really with all of the sports. It's like, hey, can you fit in with our team culture, and are you a good athlete? And obviously, can you do the work in the classroom? And if the answer is yes to all those things, again, there's not much else that you care about. But you end up getting, you know, a guy from Australia who is a wonderful interview, just a lot of fun to talk to. But the stories really are compelling, and then seeing how those stories kind of interweave and come together to form a team, to me, that really is one of the neat things about sports in general, and certainly sports at Penn State in particular here.
Yeah, I agree 100%. The stories are just they're more interesting than, you know, if you're filling the A gap or not. I mean, it's like Dom DeLuca. He's an amazing story, and he's going to have a great year. But the stories about him, and I wrote the first story about Dom. So every time I see him, I'm your press agent. I'm like, Bill Horlacher for Jeff. But his is an amazing story. But for me, kind of the joy of living in town, and I haven't used this in a story yet. He said I could. I'm a giant on North Atherton Street, right before spring break. And in line ahead of me is Dom DeLuca with a bunch of flowers. And it's like his girlfriend's a pit cheerleader. He's going to go visit her over spring break. But for me, I'll use that scene with his permission to show the dichotomy of this hard-edged nose linebacker and this more of this 360-degree person who's in line at Giant buying flowers. For me, that's a sense of a small community and really telling a complete story on who Dom is.
All right. Well, just an open-ended question from your coverage and observations, because this football team has changed a lot in 3 months. There's a new offensive coordinator. There's a new defensive coordinator. You got the transfer portal. You got all this stuff. You got guys who left. You got Fashanu, who's going to be a number one first round draft pick here shortly. Your initial vibe right now about this football team, I mean, are they looking good? Do they have holes? How are the new people doing? What do you think about this team right now?
They don't have an identity. And I know usually you don't at this point, but last night was the ninth spring practice, and it's there's a lot of guys in the team who've been here a long time, but there is not an identity. And you don't know what the identity is schematically, because Koltunicki's new, and he's going to redo a lot. Tom Allen is not Manny Diaz. I think, to me, that's their number one challenge. I was a huge Manny Diaz fan. Tom Allen was a head coach a long time, making that transition, what they're going to do, losing a ton of really good people on defense. To me, that's the seminal question. Is every coach likes to have an eraser, right? You want an eraser. That defense was an eraser. We don't know what the eraser is for this team. I think the man on the spot is really Tom Allen this year, more than Drew Allar, more than KLS, more than Julian Fleming, more than Andy Koltunicki. It's Tom Allen. And we don't know yet. We'll see. But I think that, to me, is going to be the ongoing storyline.
Now, Allen's only been defensive coordinator really for a few weeks. I mean, doesn't it take time to build an identity? You don't snap your fingers, have an identity. I mean, how much time do you think is needed here?
Well, probably about 172 days until they head to Morgantown, and then they better figure out who they are, especially when you move Carter to the edge, and now you got – so your linebackers – or Tony Rojas, who's really good, but he's never started. And you got Kobe King, who's like 250 pounds right now. He's huge. And then you got Dom, who's a little undersized. You know, so they have a lot. They have a lot to work on there. They have a million great defensive backs. They're probably going to play. They're going to play a 4-2-5. That's a brand new identity, man. That's going to be something.
I'm trying to imagine a 4-2-5. That's an interesting defensive scheme. And Abdul Carter, I guess, is an end now. He's not a linebacker anymore. So what? He's going to be the next incarnation of
Micah Parsons.
Of Micah Parsons. Yeah.
Parsons, Chop. And part of it is, who makes the money? The backers or the edge rusher? I mean, no offense to Abdul Carter and his pop, but I think that it's a financially driven move.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. A financially driven move on whose part exactly? I'm confused.
He went to the coaches and said, I want to move. It wasn't a schematic change or positional change. Carter and his dad in the offseason said, we want Abdul to play the edge. Because Jeff shaking his head, yep. Right? They go in the first round. They're some of the most highest paid people in football, not your linebackers.
All right, now, guys, I'm old school here. players can do that now that you could never begin to do that in the old days. And again, we've talked about NIL and we've talked about the transfer portal and all this sort of stuff. So players can pretty much tell the coaches now where they want to play. Is that how this new system operates?
If you're Abdul Carter, you can, because if they go, no, we want you at linebacker, Abdul Carter will be somewhere else in a week.
Yeah.
Anybody else not happy about this, or is it just me?
Yeah, although in this particular case, too, Mike, if I'm not mistaken, I mean, Franklin, when Abdul came in, that they kind of, that's what they were looking at him as, is, was it more of a defensive end, and he kind of advocated at that time that, no, I see myself more as a linebacker. So at the end of the day, I don't think this was a... I think the coaches are probably okay with it in this particular case. But listen, I'll tell you, I just had a conversation with Kale. I did an interview for the Who? Wrestling Club's newsletter with Kale Sanderson. The guy, he's a coach of another team on campus. But I was talking about how, you know, he has obviously a lot of really good guys coming back next year. I'm like, how much juggling are you doing trying to figure out where you want guys to go? And he's like, none. He goes, they tell me where they want to go. So it's like, yeah, and then if they have, you know, two guys that are elite and they're like, well, we both want to go here, it's like, well, one of you is going to win out and the other's got to figure out whether you can make the cut and go somewhere else or not. But it's... You know, it's not the coaches that are telling them, hey, this is where you have to go. It's the kids that are saying, yep, this is where I'm going to be for next year.
Yeah, and Franklin, a week or two ago, I thought was pretty candid when he indicated that the move of Carter was driven by Carter's dad. And quite honestly, he said it put him in a bind at the backer. And it has put them in a bind at the backer.
All right, let's move to the offensive side of the ball, because that always gets attention. All right, again, new coordinator. Identity over there, because most of the complaints about Penn State football were over on the offensive side last year. What about that side?
I think Colt Tonicki has a pretty strong identity. Tight ends, Tyler Warren, I'm telling you now, he's going to have an incredible... He could have went pro. He would have probably... He would go third round in the upcoming draft, maybe four. Tight end, running backs, you're going to see a lot of short game stuff. You're going to see, you know, Catron Allen and Nick Singleton are going to catch a lot of balls. You're going to see a lot of short stuff. That's Julian Fleming's forte. Julian Fleming does not catch anything more than 20 yards down the field. So all of a sudden, you have a game that's not just vertical, but it's horizontal. You're going to see a lot of that. Colt Tonicki likes to use a second quarterback sometimes. Prabola, that's his strength. Bo does not have an arm. So you're going to see a lot of that. I'm not sure you're going to call it West Coast, but I think that will be their identity. And Drew's very careful. Drew's right. Drew's very careful. So they're playing to Drew's strength there as well.
All right, define very careful. What do you mean? What do you mean there?
Well, he had, what, two picks last year? And I think part of that was they drilled into him. I know it was. They drilled into him the first 6 weeks. No picks, no picks, no picks. So that created his mindsets. He can read his progressions, but his personality, he's not a gunslinger. He's not a Kerry Collins. He's not a Matt McGloin. He's not a guy that's going to take big risks, and so this offense plays to his strength. That's not Drew Aller's personality.
All right, no picks, no picks. That sounds like Joe Paterno. That's what Joe Paterno did with all quarterbacks all this time, right? No pick, don't throw an interception, don't make a mistake, manage the game. That's the same old thing, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that was John Schaefer. The epitome of it. John was a game manager, and he turned out to be a great hedge fund manager, made millions for Bill Schreier. But yeah, I think this is not conservative. It's just we're gonna use, what is it, 53 1/3 wide and 30 deep. And 10 back. That's our field. They don't have a deep shot guy. Maybe KLS, but not usually. They don't have, you know, while Harrison, they don't have a super deep shot guy to go to anyway.
All right, I'm forgetting the game. Aller had a 70-yard pass.
Got about 30 seconds left, Gazy.
A 70-yard pass to the 5-yard line, and it was perfect. You're saying that they're going to go away from that with this new scheme?
No, great, great question. That was Indiana, and he did the same thing the first game, but it's one or two deep shots a game. It's not a steady diet of that like it was under Joe Moorhead with Chris Godwin and Juwan Johnson and those type of things. It's not going to be that type of deal. KLS might get three catches for 97 yards. You know, one or two biggies and that's it.
Mike, I think we're out of time, but I appreciate you walking over here, bud. It was great catching up with you again.
Shocked you were here. I got to go to Starbucks and get my coffee now.
Thank you, Mr. Foreman. Okay. We appreciate it. We'll be back. John Affleck will join Mr. Gazy up at the Hub, and we'll talk more right after this on Let's Talk.
Your home for the Goon and Ironhead, exclusively on Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
You can listen to the Fox 98.7 everywhere. Search the Fox 98.7.com. The Fox 98.7.com.
At home, at work, and in the car.
Fox Sports.
Turn it up.
Turn it up.
Sweet America.
True freedom of speech is uniquely American. So speak up and speak out live on the radio at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Call the Fox phone toll free, 844-THE-FOX. That's 844-THE-FOXX. Your opinion really does count, and you'll never be thrown in Fox phone jail because, hey, we don't have one.
Sweet America.
Get up and get going. The Fox is here for you. Start the day knowing. Wake up in the morning with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Our coverage of high school sports on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is brought to you in part by a generous contribution from Galen Dreibelbiss. A lifelong Center County resident, Galen Dreibelbiss is proud to support the efforts of our young student athletes, and he and his family believe that success in athletics can translate to success in life after high school. We at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox would like to thank Galen Dreibelbiss for his philanthropy in our community and his support of our coverage of Center County sports.
There's a day 2 Roots Foxcast. Another round of rain comes in. Thursday, variable clouds, some showers of rain and wet snow. The high temperature 40 to 45.
Fox Forecast.
Friday is going to be windy and unseasonably cold. Temperatures in the 30s with frequent flurries and squalls.
This is WeatherBell.com Chief Meteorologist Joe Bastardi.
Sports Radio 98.7.
The Fox.
Don't know what to get that special loved one? How about a relaxing getaway for two to the Keller House Bed and Breakfast? Comfy quarters and memorable mornings await you and your loved one with a romantic getaway to Center Hall, just minutes from Penn State and Penn's Cave. Relax, refresh, and recharge with a getaway to the Keller House Bed and Breakfast. Make a reservation now by calling 814-364-2225. That's the Keller House Bed and Breakfast in Center Hall.
Oh no, your windshield just broke. You don't know what to do. Simple. Call Auto Glass Center, a locally owned company serving the Center region for over 40 years. They work on every make and model and also specialize in glass replacement for commercial trucks, farm tractors, heavy construction machinery, motorhomes, campers, and classic vehicles. Using insurance? No problem. They work with every insurance company. Just tell them you want the best. You want Auto Glass Center. 814-234-3431. 814-234-3431.
Tired of lawnmowers that just don't last? Well, meet the new Liberty Z zero-turn rider from Skag Power Equipment. Liberate your weekend and give your lawn a professional quality of cut with the Liberty Z, the first Skag zero-turn mower designed exclusively for our residential customers. The Liberty Z is built to last and provide you with years of dependable performance. Make your yard the envy of your neighborhood with the Skag Liberty Z. Visit Port Sports Emporium for more info and great deals on Skag Mowers.
Our coverage of high school sports on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox is brought to you in part by a generous contribution from Galen Dreibelbiss. A lifelong Center County resident, Galen Dreibelbiss is proud to support the efforts of our young student athletes, and he and his family believe that success in athletics can translate to success in life after high school. We at Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox would like to thank Galen Dreibelbiss for his philanthropy in our community and his support of our coverage of Center County sports.
Talk about great prices. Center Hall Farm Store has fantastic deals to help you save money all winter long on heating wood pellets.
Come here, Bear. Come on. Come on.
Oh, yeah. And for your ferocious little pomapoo, shepherd, horses, and just about every other farm animal, even your birds. Center Hall Farm Store has created its own perfect, unique mixture of feed, along with commercial feed of your choice. Center Hall Farm Store, 110 West Allison Street, Center Hall. CenterHallFarmStore.com.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
It's Let's Talk here on a Wednesday. Quick information to pass along to you here this morning. We get word that Bald Eagle Area School District will be dismissing at 12:30 today due to flooding. So all Bald Eagle Area schools will be letting out at 12:30 this afternoon. And we don't have confirmation yet, but it sounds like they're not going to be the only school district letting out early today due to flooding. So I'm sure the schools will be letting the parents know here. But Bald Eagle Area for sure, and it sounds like somebody in the know says they are no official word, but they believe that two other districts in the county will also be dismissing early today due to flooding. So little heads up.
Well, I kind of joke that tomorrow's going to be a snow day because it's actually supposed to snow, not a lot.
Yeah.
Tomorrow might be some other kind of day. Maybe it actually will be a snow day. Let's hope not.
Again, folks,
watch out. If you're out driving, there's standing water everywhere.
Yeah.
Don't go plowing into it with your vehicle. All right? That's dangerous. Don't do that stuff. Take your time today because this is going to hang around for a while. Anyway, Scott here. I'm over at the Hub on the Penn State campus for a high school journalism event, which is going to start here in about 15 or 20 minutes. And someone involved here is our friend John Affleck from Penn State. Now, you can wave at the Ironhead all you want. Nobody else is seeing this thing.
I get to see
That's
him.
Good. That's good.
Hey, we got to start doing live video here at some point. We've been putting that off and putting that off. We got to do it.
Yeah, we do.
So that John can actually wave to real people.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
John, first of all, thanks for taking a few minutes to join us here. You're part of this. Well, first of all, let's get some background about you. Tell us, you know, you're here at Penn State. You know, what do you teach? What do you do? And so on.
I'm the I run the John Curley Center for Sports Journalism, and I've done that for 11 years. And a couple of years ago, you know, you hang around too long, things start to happen, and they made me the department head for journalism at Penn State. So I run the whole program.
So you drew the short straw. Okay, I understand. And we had you on at the very, folks, we've been doing the show now since like the third week of August, and you were one of our initial guests way back at the end of August. And we talked some sportsy stuff there, and you're the Knight chair. And I remember joking, okay, you have Bob Knight's chair, the one he threw across the court 40 years ago. Where's the chair? The chair is here somewhere?
Yeah, it's on the floor of my office.
The Bob Knight chair that he threw
through. There you go.
Whatever game that was. So anyway, I want to talk not necessarily about sports because you're a professor of journalism here. This is a journalism event that we are both attending here today. And we had Mike Poorman on earlier, and I mentioned the Belisario College is fantastic. It wasn't 30 years ago, my opinion. And the improvement that the college has made in 30 years' time is amazing. Now, do you agree with that? You know, from all the experience you've had here, what the kids are doing here now is awesome. 30 years ago, it was terrible. And what changed?
Leadership. the leadership changed. Our former dean, Doug Anderson, and our current dean, Marie Harden, have really built an incredible program from the ground up. We have a new facility. We're now the Belisario College of Communications because they got a massive grant from Donald, a massive donation from Donald Belisario, television producer, famous TV producer. And our equipment is state of the art, and we're able to recruit on a level with the other national journalism programs. And so, you know, it's a virtuous cycle. You get good faculty, you get good equipment, you get great students, the students do great things, other students see it, and it just rolls from there.
Apparently, is this an annual thing now? When Penn State hits spring break, which was, you know, a couple of weeks ago, whenever that was, a group of Belisario students now go overseas to do reporting. Now, this year, I believe they went to Turkey. What blew me away last year, they went to the small country of Estonia, which is in Eastern Europe, and they actually got an interview with the Prime Minister of Estonia, which is like the President of the United States and of Estonia. And I was seeing this, I'm like, these are college kids. They're talking to the Prime Minister of a country. I was blown away by that. Is that an annual thing now? They're always going to take these overseas trips?
Yeah, that started with a professor named Tony, Tony Barbieri, a few years ago. He started the program, and that's exactly what they do. I've brought a sports crew with them a couple of times, but they go to places that aren't just necessarily, you know, places you want on your passport, but places where there really is good journalism to be done. Estonia has a big influx of Ukrainian refugees. It has to deal with its bigger threatening neighbor, Russia. So there was a lot of good work to be done there. Istanbul, this year, the Middle East, which is, you know, Turkey's sort of on the fringe of that whole situation. They're also dealing with refugees from Syria and other places. So just a lot of good stories to be done. The time I went was after Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and they were dealing with the reconstruction of Puerto Rico following that hurricane, which led to a lot of really interesting work by the students. So students apply in for this opportunity in really great numbers, and there's a whole selection process and everything like that, and they work down to really fine students, and it's a consistent award-winning production. The cornerstone of the production is a television program, on a television special for Center County Report, which is our twice weekly television news program that the students put together, that runs on the local PBS station WPSU.
Do I assume there's a trophy case somewhere, because this group's been winning awards? Again, 30 years ago this was unthinkable. Now they're winning all kinds of awards, I think. What's going on there?
In fact, there is a trophy case, and banners for a couple of national contests that we've won. So, you probably know this from journalism, that it's a little sometimes difficult for journalists to toot their own horn, and, you know, we always sort of act like humble servants and that sort of thing. But, you know, a few years ago we decided we're going to actually broadcast our success a little bit and tell people the good work we're doing. So, I don't have a problem with that.
Sounds good to me.
John, my ears perked up a little bit when you mentioned that, you know, you're getting, recruiting, some top end students. Can you talk a little bit about that? You hear recruiting, and I'm thinking, all right, you're flying out like James Franklin, visiting homes. But what is involved in terms of getting some of these? Because we just talked with Mike, the number of people who are going on and having, I mean, tremendously successful careers coming out of Penn State within the communications department as a whole is truly remarkable and impressive.
I can only say he's right. But it's, you know, the analogy with sports and football in terms of recruiting is apt. It's a 365 day a year effort. Our college recruiter Emily Miller does a tremendous job putting together events, bringing students to campus. The modern, it's not like, you know, I'm looking at you guys and we've all got a little salt and pepper going in the beard, and maybe more salt than pepper. And and you know, in our day it was like, you know, maybe you visit one campus or something like that. You know, you're just basically flying blind. You know, it's no secret people make this choice very carefully now. And so we bring students in, they're taken around, you know, given a tour of our facilities, they meet faculty. And we think one of our big advantages is our faculty is really excited about what we're doing. And we send that message to the students on a one-to-one basis. I was on a call yesterday with a kid from my hometown, which is Syracuse. And he turned out to be from my rival high school. And, you know, we're just, you know, you're just talking to people all the time about why they should be here. And there, I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say that there's a real, like, you know, light bulb moment, big eyeballs kind of moment when you're talking to people about what they can get at Penn State.
If I recall, Syracuse still has a pretty darn good, Syracuse University has a pretty darn good media and communications department. I don't know, Bob Costas maybe went to Syracuse, I think, and so on. I don't know, is there a bit of a rival? Granted, not the same athletic league anymore, but is there a rivalry of sorts? Or Northwestern, maybe? Northwestern's got an excellent program. Is there some kind of journalism rivalry going on there?
Certainly. There's, I mean, all of the big journalism schools, Syracuse, Northwestern, Mizzou, us, you know, we're competing for the same field of students. It's not unlike, you know, James Franklin's competing against Ohio State, Michigan State, those guys. We've got our peers as well. And you know, you win some, you lose some, but at the end of the day, you know, you go out and you do the best work you can, and the chips fall where they fall, and we're pretty good about where we are in that mix.
All right, let me toss you this question. All right, we're, the three of us are kind of up there in age, salt and pepper, whatever the heck that was. All right, thanks a lot, pal. And we've talked in the show about how students and young people today are just different. You know, you define different, that different tendencies, different, I don't know, emotions and so on. So for the students who are like part of the program today, as compared to, say, like 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is it the same or is it different? And if it's different, how do you, as instructors, I mean, what have you changed? I'm wondering about the, not the quality of students, but just the outlook that they have when it comes to the journalism business. How would you describe today's kids?
That's a great question. I think it actually starts with technology. It's the difference, the fundamental difference between our era and this era is the phone, is the smartphone, and all of the information that they have access to at their fingertips, and the way they communicate through social media. And maybe slightly smaller family sizes as well, so a little bit more attention to the individual student. I think vis-a-vis when I was coming up, you need to have a much more sort of one-to-one relationship with the students and explain what you're doing and this is why we're doing it and that sort of thing. But fundamentally, they need to learn the same skills that we learned in terms of communicating. The fundamental skill is writing. And so we teach them to write. We teach them the other skills of, you know, whatever medium it is, broadcast, photo, documentary, however you want to tell it. But it's writing and it's storytelling. And the way humans take that information in hasn't really changed. And so we just work it from there and try to be nimble with the technology and cognizant of the best way to communicate as individuals with the students to get the results that are going to benefit them and make them whole professionals. So that's really the approach.
I love the writing component there, John, that you emphasize. I'll never forget, we had an intern, and this is going back 30 years now, but we had an intern that came in, and it's like, you know, we need you to write the script for the newscast, and here's the information. And he's like, well, no, I just want to be an anchor. I'm not here to write. It's like, well, do you understand the process? Do you ever get any pushback, or do most of these kids, they get that, hey, no matter what you are going to do, like, that writing element is so fundamental and key to at least understanding the broadcast and or journalism industry?
Oh, if they think they're just going to rip and read, they're disabused of that notion pretty quickly.
That is good.
Yeah, that just doesn't fly. The reality is, I think the next, you know, people ask me, what's the future of journalism? And I think it's increasingly it's one man band type stuff. And yeah, by that, I mean, you know, you're going to have to learn to take photos, take smart professional quality video. The devices that we're doing that on are smaller and smaller, and it's easier and easier to manipulate. But, you know, there are rules that I, you know, won't bore you with. But I mean, even since I've been here, I was at the Associated Press for a couple of decades, and I was strictly a print guy. And since I've been here, I've produced four documentaries. Wow. So, you know, that everybody has to evolve, everybody has to change. So, you know, and that's actually kind of exciting. It's fun to play with the toys.
We need to get you back on at some point. We are flat out of time, and I apologize.
Thank you very much
for that. Yes,
appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks.